Hey, this is Monty from Obsidian Entertainment. You're listening to the Only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is the Only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The podcast all about everything Neverwinter Nights.
We consistently bring you high-quality podcasts that is informative, entertaining, and inspirational.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashrakhan Zelo.
And I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And joining us tonight as a guest is Monty Markland from Obsidian. How's it going, Monty?
Hey, how's it going? Doing well. How are y'all doing?
Welcome to the NWN Podcast. This show covers all aspects of the Neverwinter Nights community.
News, tips and tricks, interviews, reviews, and discussion roundtables from all around the community. Check out our website at nwnpodcast.com for all of our show notes and much more information.
You can email us at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com or post to us in our forums.
You can call us on Skype at nwnpodcast, that's all one word, and leave us a voicemail.
So with that, quit looking at Nishka's horns for a few minutes and join us for another exciting episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
In this episode, we'll talk about the last patch for the latest patch for Neverwinter Nights 1. That's beta for 169.
Also, NWN 2 patch 1.11 is released.
An update on Neverwinter Night 2, Mysteries of Westgate, Diary. Number 1.
Plus, we have Monty Markland, fresh from Obsidian Employee Orientation, joining us tonight.
For the main topic, we have Zach Holbrook and his newly released module, Harp and Chrysanthemum, just 6 days in the vault with 40-plus votes at 9.64.
You'll hear all this and much more on the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Neverwinter Nights podcast. This is episode 41.
So we have a special guest with us tonight. Who do we have, Jay?
Then we got Monty Markland. You might know him from the Rogue Deo Studios and the Planescape Trilogy modules. He just recently got hired by Obsidian. So, Monty, welcome, and glad to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
So what's your first few days been like there?
It's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun. Rumor has it that working in the video game business is a pretty cool job, and turns out that it is. Everybody out here has been, really, really, really nice and just helpful and very accommodating, and it's been a great introduction to professional game development. I think Obsidian Entertainment's got a lot of exciting things in store for everybody over the course of the next couple of years, so I can't think of a place I'd rather be working.
Well, cool. We'll get to talk more about that in the show, and if you'll hang on after the show, we'll give you our addresses so you can send us those T-shirts.
Absolutely. Email those to me, and I will.
He's always looking for opportunity.
I'm just kidding. Look, we had some feedback from episode 40.
Yes, we got some feedback from Eat to Serve, or Dave, our favorite listener out in California, Dave.
So we had some feedback from Eat to Serve, Dave, our favorite listener in California.
The episode before, he had left some comments about he has put up a new submission on the vault, a city that he's been DMing for, and I forgot to actually mention that in the last episode, so I told him I would mention it this time around, a new prefab category for others to work into their mods if they wish. And so we'll include the notes for that, and I guess congratulate Dave on, I think this might be his first submission to the vault. So
That's
very cool.
The city of Tornisa. Tornisia, I'm assuming that's how you say that. Torencia.
Mm-hmm. Torencia.
Torencia.
This is Dave Kroll, the city of Torencia.
Yes, that's it. It says
22 areas, a fully built city usable for any medieval fantasy setting. And the main gate is fairly fleshed out. And there's a couple of rideable horses at the stable.
Oh, cool.
And it hasn't been up there for very long. So yeah, we'll have to keep our eyes on that. It doesn't look like he's got any votes yet, so we'll keep watching it.
Yeah,
it's newly posted. Although it has had 70 downloads so far.
Indeed.
So that's good.
Sometimes it takes people a little while to get their...
Well, in a prefabbed area, that makes sense, because it takes a little while to get it in and start playing around with it and see what you can do with it. So, good job, Dave. And we kind of watch him grow up a little bit in this stuff. He's Monty, you might have some competition there. He might be coming up behind your door.
I think he probably is. I got my start with Neverwinter Nights 1 and building the areas for persistent worlds. So Neverwinter Nights 1 is it's a good game to start learning on.
Anybody else have any other feedback or comments that you heard that you wanted to cover in this today show?
Carlos 1 left us a comment thanking us for mentioning the DMFI NWN Tools new version launch. He said thanks for mentioning that. And actually, I got to trade some emails with him, and it looks like we're going to get to have him and a person named Webby. I'm not sure what their real name is, but they've both been around for a long time on the BioWare forums. And I think we're going to have
Webby is a community rep, I think.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He's agreed. Is it he or she? I think it's he.
It's he.
Okay. They've agreed to do a discussion roundtable on DMing in Neverwinter Nights. So Carlos and I are working that up. I think we're going to try to invite Arwen Silverstar was another one he mentioned, a person that might be able to participate in the discussion. Oh, and Halloween Foxy wanted the soundtrack that we had in the last episode.
There was quite a bit of comment and discussion about the music that you put there, so that was good.
Yeah, I actually got that from Ernie Noah's. He had a hack pack and music pack, I guess, out there that you could download. And so I downloaded that and used that as an opening to his interview. It sounded pretty cool.
Is that from one of his modules?
Yes. From
Tamakin?
Tamakin. Tomochan.
And if I remember correctly, Trey, you and I were talking about getting some of the composers that have created music for modules and either doing a roundtable discussion with them or just interviewing them individually and kind of featuring some of their music as we go along. So,
what I wanted to try to do was kind of like have a music appreciation segment. It would maybe last, 20 seconds mentioning what the song is, who composed it or wrote it or whatever. And then just actually playing the song just kind of as a segment divider is kind of what I had in mind.
I do know that Jason Roy does a lot of his own music, plays and records his own music for his modules also.
Okay, cool.
Yes. He's a musician.
Yep.
On top of being a gaming game.
I've talked to David Johns a little. I've emailed him, talked to him through email, and he agreed to do an interview. So hopefully we'll have him on pretty soon.
That'll be good. Well, with that, let's get into the news. We mentioned Neverwinter Nights 1 earlier as a good place to cut your teeth on creating areas. But we also like to let you know that 1.69 patch as a beta has just been released. The first 1.69 beta patch is now available for download. This beta patch currently only supports the English version of Neverwinter Nights running under Windows for users that have both expansion packs installed. So it's an important note to make right there. The 1.69 beta patch contains a couple of Vista-specific changes, including a fix for videos not playing properly under Windows Vista and prompting Vista users to elevate privileges when running Neverwinter Nights. So that's been of particular interest to me since I've just got a new laptop in and running Windows Vista Ultimate, and yes, I have been installing Neverwinter Nights on it and trying to get it to work, so I'm definitely going to grab this patch and see what's going on with it.
And thanks to Dave again in California. He actually sent that in into our forums, into our news forums, letting us know about that.
Cool.
Neverwinter Nights 2 is going to have another patch release, or it does, 1.11. Neverwinter Night 2 patch 1.11 has been released. There are numerous updates in this patch, including some updates for Mask of the Betrayer. And we'll have a link to that in the full story.
There are spoilers in the patch notes, so if you haven't finished Mask of the Betrayer,
finish it.
It's awesome.
What I'm wondering on this is I've purchased Mask of the Betrayer, but I haven't installed it yet, and I wouldn't try to do the update, run the updater after this. And it didn't pull down or didn't see any new patches while I was doing that. So I don't know if you don't install Mask of the Betrayer, is 1.10 the latest you're going to get? I don't know. That's just a question out there. We'll have to see. I noticed it hasn't updated the last couple of times I've tried it. That could just be my install. If some listeners have a different experience with that, please send us a forum submission and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, and you might want to periodically check the Mask of the Betrayer install instructions in the general discussion forums for Neverwinter Nights 2. It's a sticky by Rob McGinnis near the top.
Yep.
And they might be updated to take into account new patches.
From what I saw, this patch was mostly Mask of the Betrayer, right?
Fixes? Well, actually, I'm not on Neverwinter Nights 2 right now, so I'm not going to have any more information really than what's in the patch notes. But but yeah, there's a lot of Mask of the Betrayer specific stuff in there, as well as some general stuff like stealth, which is, I think, a big thing that everybody knows is glad to see in a patch.
And some of the general fixes was, like I said, stealth was previously not functioning properly. Doesn't really say what it was doing or what they fixed. It just says it is now functioning as designed.
Mm-hmm.
As
yes.
a programmer, that can mean anything. I know I can interpret that. You know,
so
that's not a bug. That's a feature.
So what is stealth? What is stealth? I mean, I know what stealth is, but how is it used in the game?
I think it's mainly impacted by rogues.
Oh. Yeah, like move silently and hide in shadows. Those are
right.
the skills that are
rogues
stealth.
And,
you know, those combine, and then listen and spot are the two, you know, opposing skills. And so if you, you know, you make your move silently or hide checks, you know, against people's listen and spot checks and try to stay hidden so you can backstab people and do other exciting things.
Also in this patch, the opening the game options window will no longer reset the camera focus to strategy mode, which that's a good one. That was bugging me a lot. The Dwarven Defender's defense stance should now function properly, and there's also was an exploit that was fixed that allowed players to increase their con by unequipping and re-equipping items. There says a message will now be displayed if a character cannot equip an item due to being frightened, and the enable buy sell confirmation option will now properly retain its state when you exit the game.
Hmm. Cool.
So that's the main general fixes. There are other fixes for Mask of Betrayer. As Monty said, it does contain spoilers, so be careful. Looked like there was only a few other things, other fixes to tool sets and DM clients and a scripting, a few script fixes, but mostly Mask of the Betrayer and some 2DA file updates. Everything else is pretty light. So, but they're already got a list going for what's going to be in the 1.12 patch. So if you might check the BioWare forums and check out what's going on with that if you're interested in something that's not quite there yet.
Good plans for the support for Neverwinter Nights 2.
I have played Mask of the Betrayer 4 times.
Yeah, you enjoyed it, right? Mask
I loved it. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
My favorite part of Mask of the Betrayer truly is the companions truly had some depth, and they continued to develop more depth, more dialogue, more story, more personalization as the story went, rather than mm-hmm. having a limit. As the story progressed, they had more to say, more to talk about, more to converse with you, whether they were ticked off at you or whether they felt that you were doing a great job and they were getting endeared to you. And you really, truly felt it. It was awesome. I had a great
yeah.
time. And I had
yeah,
to play
was,
four different types of characters, of course, and, well.
Yeah, I played it before I actually, you know, came out here and interviewed for the job, and I was just blown away, and I'm not just saying this because I now work for Obsidian. It was, you know, my favorite computer role-playing game experience since Baldur's Gate 2 or Icewind Dale 2. You know, and I'd put it up there in the top 10 along with games like Torment and Fallout and Bloodlines. So it was really
yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Bloodlines, really I'm fun. Having that. I love Bloodlines. That's one of my favorite games. But I
yeah.
do say it is horrible. Definitely. But
yeah.
I will also have to say that the expansion far surpassed the OC.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on a totally different level. They can't even be compared to each other.
Mask of the Betrayer is definitely one of the most amazing RPGs that's come out in a long time.
I agree.
It definitely
I totally
sets the bar
agree.
High for Planescape Purgatorio.
Talking about new releases and modules, we've got a Neverwinter Nights 2 Mysteries of Westgate Diary number 1. I think we talked a little bit about this module a couple episodes, but this is an update to that. Ocyan Studios introduces its title featuring a non-linear campaign, new companions, a sewer tile set, and more. This is known for a wide, known far and wide across the Forgotten Realms. Westgate is a major city located where the river Thune flows into the Inner Sea. It's home and headquarters to a number of various prosperous merchant families, each with its own warehouse and other facilities. So there's a little bit of history about that. It says it's the first series of adventure packs that will retail via digital download. So Ocyan Studios, Neverwinter Nights 2, Mysteries of Westgate is approaching release, hopefully within the next couple of days, although a definite date has not been announced.
So. I'm excited. I'll play it.
So yeah, this open-ended campaign involving potent but cursed treasure. The title will feature new content, including three companions, NPCs, like I said, the sewer tile set for mod makers, and additional monsters. So they're actually not just releasing a module for player for people to play. They're actually new content for mod developers to start playing with. So that's great.
I'm looking at that page right now. These screenshots look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody over those studios, Money?
Not personally. I've talked to a couple of their team members on forums and the like, QV and Alexander and Tiberius, I think.
Alexander's a phenomenal modder.
Yeah.
I played all of his Neverwinter Nights 1 stuff, and wow, he's just got great story, I loved his modules.
Yes, they were some of the best.
Then our last news item is Monty Markland gets hired by Obsidian.
Wow.
Yes. Pretty exciting stuff, right?
Congratulations, Monty. That's a good step for someone in the community. We're happy to see that happen.
Well, thanks a lot, you know. I think, you know, it proves once again, it's not like I'm the first guy that was a part of the Neverwinter Nights community that got a job with a game company. It happened with Neverwinter Nights 1. It's happened with Neverwinter Nights 2 before me, I'm sure, though maybe we just don't know about it. But, you know, I think it'll happen again. I think it just goes to show you how valuable and exciting the Neverwinter Nights community is in terms of, you know, learning how to mod, learning how games work, and it's just a great opportunity to get involved with game development at kind of a apprenticeship level and just learn by doing. And that was, I think, the most fun about working on Purgatorio for the past year and a half almost now is just getting to learn so much about the process, because Obsidian released just an amazing tool set with Neverwinter Nights 2. The power as a tool for modding computer role-playing games is just unparalleled, and the flexibility and the open architecture of it's just amazing. And so, you know, making a module set in Planescape just wouldn't have been possible without the kind of tool set that Obsidian released. And so, you know, cool. Maybe more people out there will kind of see what can happen and pick that tool set up and start modding. And if they want to get into the game business, I think that's probably the best way to go about doing it.
So I have to ask, because I'm picking up on your language. I'm a programmer analyst, and what was your job before you started your daytime job, should I say? Even though I know working the last 15 months on the Planescape trilogy was a job in itself, but what was your paying daytime job?
Well, before I started working on the Planescape stuff, I was a law student in Dallas, and then before that, I worked in politics in Austin.
Really?
As a campaign manager.
What a
and
twist!
A legislative
yeah, state, you, so. You sound like you've been steeped in software development for years.
Well, I read a lot of books, you know, and that's my advice to everybody that ever wants to do something completely different from what they're currently doing right now, and that's just pick up as many books and pieces of information off the internet you can find on the subject matter you want to become an expert in, just start reading, because people can read and learn anything if they just put their minds to it and take the time to do it. And then, you know, once you've spent a certain period of time in kind of a knowledge acquisition phase, then you can roll up the sleeves and dig in. So after doing a lot of reading and research on the subject, then I just grabbed the Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set and cranked it up and just started building stuff. In retrospect, you know, I would have preferred that we had documented our design a little more at the outset. We kind of just dove in and started building. We were like, this is awesome. We're going to make a game. And we definitely learned from that process, and hopefully other folks can take our advice after learning from the school of hard knocks and go and really put pen to paper and document the design and plans for whatever mod or game you were planning on making. Document it up front and, you know, spend a good amount of time getting your head around what you're planning on making as a mod before you dive into the toolset and actually start building stuff. Building stuff is definitely the most fun, exciting part of it, but it can also be really a tiring part if you haven't properly planned and documented your design. And so by documenting things up front, you can make the process of building even more fun and more exciting and more relaxing. And it's like, you know, it's like playing a guitar. You know, a great lead guitarist is a good improvisationalist. And the reason they can improvise is because they know the structure of the instrument. They know the scales, they know the tones and the harmonics and the proper finger positions and bends and all that kind of stuff. So they know how to make riffs and improvise. And so the tool set is the same kind of thing. You want to set up a good groundwork and a good foundation for doing exciting things. And the more planning you do, the more you'll be able to improvise along the way, and that'll be the thing that produces results that make people say, wow, that's awesome.
That's so. Good advice for software development or game development. That's good advice all around. So
I'm sitting here reading some of the comments that people left on Rob's blog.
Yes.
That's some interesting reading.
Oh, down at his most recent post. Yeah, by the way, did y'all see this hair? Casey, I don't know how to pronounce this, but Casey's new hairstyle. It's a model of hair. It's really well done. Good hair is hard to do, and that is an impressive effort. And I'm excited about what he's got planned. So I think the future of Neverwinter Nights 2 support is in excellent hands with Mr. McGinnis. And I'm just along for the ride. I'm actually, you know, not working on Neverwinter Nights 2. With him, I'm on the Aliens RPG, so I'm kind of in the same building, but not necessarily up to speed on everything, so I might not be able to tell you everything about a given patch or whatnot. But I think this is a real turning point for Neverwinter Nights 2. I think Rob is going to do a great job and really kind of show people what all there is to be excited about Neverwinter Nights 2. You know, there's not just mods on the horizon to be excited about, like Purgatorio and like Mysteries of Westgate and like Harp and the Chrysanthemum, but there's also a lot of cool stuff coming in patches, you know, fixes and new content, like the new spells they were talking about. So,
okay, I like what he said when Rob ended. He said, "So we welcome Monty to the hive and look forward to the food he brings us."
Indeed, I've been assimilated.
You have been assimilated.
We are Borg.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
How is it going over at Rogue Deo Studios and the Planescape Trilogy?
Oh, it's going great. You know, I know that some folks have expressed concern on various forums and the like as to whether or not my joining Obsidian Entertainment will in any way jeopardize Planescape Trilogy or Purgatorio itself. And the answer is indefatigable, no. It will not. There is a huge team, and I'm going to just list them all off because I like them all, and they deserve recognition because I do a lot of talking on the forums because that's kind of part of my job for Purgatorio, but everybody on the team, you know, works just as hard as I do. And Kevin Chow, Scott Douglas, Johnny Taylor, Courtney Keene, Ryan Placetti, Daniel Haas, Andre Bartolovic, Heather Kirk, Jason Ng, Michael Cipriano, Will Sprinkle, Bruce Hales, Matthew Roeder, Sampo Nargi, Gabriel Velasic, Robert Fletcher, Ate Leitinen, Marco Rajakovic, Ryan Farnsworth, Andres Cruz, Johnny Ray, and Chris Hamas all worked extraordinarily hard to make Purgatorio, you know, definitely a ways off from releasing it. It is going to be an awesome ride when we're done, and that's, you know, that's due to the hard work of those 23 incredibly talented ladies and gentlemen that I just listed off there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I wish that, you know, folks could get to know them all like I've gotten to know them over the past 15 months. You know, it kind of chokes me up how awesome the process has been. And I feel like the folks that I've worked with on Purgatorio are going to be friends of mine for the rest of my life.
Well, I know for a fact that one of your artists is a phenomenal guy.
Yes, absolutely. And they all are.
And he's sitting here grinning.
Yes. Mr. Ree.
Dude, the way you read off those names, we need to have you on the show more often so you can just read the names for us.
Yeah, I'll just read them.
Those were awesome.
We are pronunciation challenged.
I think I maybe stumbled over a couple of them, but I did pretty good. Yeah, so nothing's going to change with that. There's a big team, and I'm going to continue working on Purgatorio in my, spare time, at night and on the weekends and stuff, which is kind of what I did before. I definitely worked full time on Purgatorio over the past year, but I also, had to pay the rent too at the same time. So, I'm working for Obsidian Entertainment now and they're paying the rent, but it's not particularly different from before. This is definitely a hard job and, requires a lot of work, but, I've got a lot of stamina, so I'll be working hard on Purgatorio as well into the foreseeable future.
Looking forward to it. I'm ready to play it.
Yes, we're ready to release it, but we're going to wait until it's just right, like the fairy tale. We want to try to live up to the Planescape, name and legacy. It's one of the coolest campaign settings ever made for a role-playing game. And Planescape Torment was one of the coolest computer role-playing games ever made. And so that's, it's a big act to follow. So we don't want to do anything halfway.
Okay, I have to ask the question that everybody's wanting to know the answer to.
Oh, God.
What is the question?
Now that you're working for a big gaming company.
Yes.
What kind of car do you drive?
I actually drive a car that was given to me by my father. He is a big fan of Cadillacs. He's an attorney in Texas and drives a Cadillac, which is, I guess, not particularly surprising, right? Attorneys in Texas are supposed to drive Cadillacs. And
I think it's in their bylaws for their state.
You join a law firm and they say you have to drive this car. when he gets a new Cadillac, whenever he does it or whatever.
It doesn't have longhorns on the front of it, does it?
He's got a longhorn, license plate on the back, because he did go to the University of Texas, just like me and my brother. So whenever he's done with one of his cars, he gives it to me or my brother, so we alternate every X years, one of us gets the hand-me-down Cadillac. So I'm driving one of those right now.
So you're a longhorn?
Because I'm not a particularly old guy, but I'm cruising around in a white, four-door Caddy or whatever. So. I'm not sure it's exactly a game development dude's car. Maybe I should put some longhorns in the front.
You can lowrider it, man.
I could get like a Halo skin on it.
There you go. I had to ask that question because, that's now a tradition whenever we have somebody on from Obsidian.
Your tradition.
Hey.
Ask with her. I have not had a new car in probably 13
years. Doesn't Ryan drive a Honda Accord or something like that?
Yeah. And Annie Carlson, she wouldn't tell us what she drove.
Well, I like to talk, so.
So, Michelle, Armani, I don't want to catch you off short there, but we do have an interview for this episode. So, awesome. Michelle, what have you got in store for us this week?
We have Zach Hallbrook, and he did H&C, short for Harp and Chrysanthemum, and it is a fabulous module. I did play it. It has the most amazing dialogue, the backdrop scenes, the area builds are fantastic. And I recommend it to anyone to go play it. It is rated mature. However, I think that was just to be on the safe side. I think anybody pretty much can play it. It does have a romance, and it's not cheesy. It's actually pretty decent.
I thought the M rating was for monsters.
And it does have a lot of twists and deceptions, and it's a fantastic module, and you really don't know who did it until you start getting through it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So it's doing fabulous on the vault. He already has a 9.64 rating, over 40 votes, and over 1,000 downloads. And it's only been on the vault for 6 days.
That's
so
awesome. That's
go amazing. Zach! I would like to welcome Zach Hallbrook. He has just completed a new module called Harp and Chrysanthemum. Hi, Zach. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I am great, and I'm very, very much looking forward to this interview, and I loved your module.
Thank you.
And would you like to tell the people a little bit about your module, what you do, you know, all that stuff? I know you've been on the show before, but this is a solo interview this time.
Right, right. Well, just to reorient people, and if you haven't heard me before, I'm Zach. I'm 28. I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I am actually just finishing my last semester in grad school, probably my last semester in grad school. And I've been modding for about 1 year, and I just finished and uploaded Harp and Chrysanthemum, or H&C for short. It's a lot easier to say that way. It's a mod set in the Forgotten Realms in the Backlands, which is an area east of the Sword Coast. And it's for neutral and or good players of fourth level. I tried to make it a story that would be a good balance of linearity so that there was enough of a narrative drive to it and, exploration.
I found that I actually, when I started playing the module, I went to High Points just to scope around and look at all of the scenery that you did, the backdrop. Wow.
Nice. Thank you.
Wow. So amazing. I was like, this is so neat. And I'm very captivated by the area build. And for anybody out there who's looking for a fantastic mod to play, go download it and get started because it is really, really good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What sort of process do you go through in planning the modules such as this?
Well, my process is a little wacky. I have a very kind of primitive outline in the beginning, a basic idea of where the story is going to go. But I'm not really constrained by that in the process of building, so that what I had drawn up when I first started working on agency is more than a little different from what I ended up with. And this is because my process, I think, is pretty organic. What I tend to do is begin with area design and let that kind of guide how I want how I want the population to look, how I want dialogue to sound, how I want characters to come across. I have a general idea about the direction of the story, but also a good sense of what the tone is going to be like as I go. I start with the area building, and then I populate it. I come up with companions, and then I play through bit by bit, and I think, what do I need next? What would I want as a player next? And then I let that kind of guide me.
Fantastic. You're getting a lot of praise for your brilliant storytelling and dialogue, and rightfully so. What are some of the things people should keep in mind when writing a storyline and setting up dialogue, as well as common mistakes people do?
I would say, going along with that whole organic thing, don't be afraid to change the story as you go along. I mean, it's one thing to have, it's one thing to have an outline and, really impose that on your creative process. And I think for some people that actually does work. But for me, I found that going through and really trying to play it as a new player, as somebody coming to it for the first time, although that's hard because you know where everything is and what everybody says, it's actually really helpful to do that so that you can imagine what a new player would feel going through it. Also, I would say make it smaller no matter what. Your scope is always going to be a little bigger when you're coming up with an idea for a mod than it can conceivably be in the end. So I would say, make it as small as you need it to be to get it finished. And as far as nitpicky things, minute details of mod building and conversation writing. You know, conversations, I found that conversations should always have a kind of point to them. So you want, I know, I mean, it's tempting to give, you know, everybody a kind of, open-ended dialogue where they can go on and on and on, but the dialogue should really have a kind of thesis, a kind of point, something to progress the story or to add flavor or whatever. But it should, in the end, have a point, and you as a writer should be willing to give the player a reasonable amount of choices, but not so many that the dialogue loses that point.
If you don't mind, I'd like to ad-lib a question. Did you write the story, or did you have assistance with it?
I did write the story.
Fabulous. Awesome. It is really, really good. I love the book, and I love the poem. It was all great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, Donnie actually didn't find the poem. I did.
Oh,
so,
yeah?
So, yeah. I was, like, reading, and I was like, wow, that's really good.
Now, I have to ask, there's actually kind of more than one poem. Which poem did you find?
I found the one at the crypt.
Okay, excellent.
But, like, yeah. you already know that I am not completely through the module yet
because
of my work schedule. But I did find the one at the crypt, and I'm very interested in digging back into that. And I did notice that the storyline has some good twisty plots in it, so guys who like that, look forward to it. I like twisty plots. I don't like to know who did it. Or I don't like to figure it out right away either.
Right away, right.
What would you like to tell us about the companions? They all have very nice depth and very interesting characteristics. Would you like to embellish on that?
Sure. Well, there are three companions. Two of them are forced, so you get them pretty early on in the game. And their names are Vroman Horner and Ianth Lavalis. Ianth is a paladin. She's come to the small town of Drawn Swords for some reason, one that you'll find out eventually. And Vroman Horner is your traveling companion. So you've known him for a while when you get to Drawn Swords, and he's actually the reason you're there. You came with him to meet up with his brother, and you find out very early on that there's been some problem with that. Vroman is a rogue, and he's actually a good example for something that changed from my initial conception. He began as someone who was a lot more confident. He was kind of a dandy. He was much more like a typical rogue. He's still kind of a typical rogue in a different way, but he was a lot smarmier. He always had something witty to say. Now his dialogue, you know, lacks wit, but that's my fault, not really his. He changed into something different. He's now a little more insecure. He's much more deferential to the PC. He's kind of somebody who's always stayed in the PC's shadow as long as he's known the PC. I did this for a few reasons, but it made him a more interesting character.
Yeah, he fits the role that he's been placed in my opinion.
Right. Yeah.
So, and the whole rogue attitude, I always felt like it was like some sort of personification of what truly lied deep inside a rogue. Because, I mean, why does someone become a rogue to begin with?
Right.
And I've always thought that cocky, witty kind of thing was like you put on your front.
Right, right.
And I like the fact that he had a lot more depth to him and showed a little more vulnerability, and it was fantastic. There are romance options in this module also.
Yes, yes. One of them I just kind of fixed. Vroman, the first version of the mod that I've updated, which, you know, well, it hasn't been updated yet, but I just put a fix up for the Vroman romance. Vroman would actually proclaim the PC his mistress even if the PC was a male, which was a kind of a problem. People were upset about that. Ianth and Vroman can both be romanced. I won't say too much more about it, except
right.
that they are picky. They can be romanced, but Ianth is especially picky.
Yes, I noticed that. I did notice that when Johnny was telling me about, I asked him to give me the male perspective because, of course, I'm playing a female. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it seems like she's very dialogue sensitive.
She is. She's a paladin of Suni, who's the goddess of love, so she can afford to be picky, you know.
Right, absolutely. Not to mention being a paladin, she's very strongly conviction, has strong convictions to begin with.
Right.
This module is placed in the Forgotten Realms. Where else do you go for inspiration?
Well, as far as area design, you know, I've talked about this before on here, but it bears repeating. I like spending a lot of time in the outdoors. So hiking, going hiking, and you know, when I can't go hiking, because I usually can, I live in Brooklyn, so I look online and look at pictures of, you know, places I would like to be. So that's kind of where I go as far as area design. I also spent a year doing landscaping, and I think in some weird way that's helped me do virtual landscaping. As far as, you know, storyline, plot, dialogue, and that sort of thing, you know, I was an English grad student, so I draw a lot of influences from the books that I read. A lot of names. I love naming things. It's one of my favorite things about creating mods.
Mm-hmm.
I love giving names to things, and a lot of the names come from you know, different figures in romantic poetry, you know, all over the place. But it's kind of like all over the map. But I think that's one of the things that I'd actually recommend, is being open to influences from all kinds of different quarters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, assimilating the things that you're exposed to daily into your creative process is a really excellent idea, and something that's fun to do too. And, you know, obviously there are some things whose influence you can't escape. You know, the Lord of the Rings, Baldur's Gate, that kind of thing. And those things are obviously going to influence you no matter what,
mm-hmm.
even if you haven't ever seen or played it. You know, pick up influences in other places too, is what I'd say.
Being that you've only been a modder for a year now, you've already become well known as an excellent area designer. And you've applied some interesting techniques, such as in the birthday, scaling down props to create, you know, the illusion of these huge fields. And is there any building techniques you'd like to mention featured in the new module?
Yeah, I did more of the distance stuff. I didn't use as many props, although I did do some trees. I shrunk some trees to make it look like they were further away. I also did a lot of terrain sculpting that I wanted to look, you know, I wanted to make it look like they were mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Really, if you put a person over there, they would look bigger than they should. I also used one of the new features, or newer features, of the tool set in one of the areas, at least one of the areas. In the backlands, I used the desaturation effect to give this kind of melancholy grayish cast to the area.
Definitely noticeable.
Definitely noticeable, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I loved looking at the backdrop, and I told you I would go to the little higher peaks and kind of swirl uh-huh. around to see everything. It was fabulous.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
You know, one thing that I'm unsatisfied with in this mod, are the night cycles. It's really hard. I found it very hard to make, a night cycle that looked dark, but that was also, you know, you could walk around in it and still experience the landscape. So basically, I recommend to anybody playing the mod that you just stay at the inn when it's night. Don't worry about
actually,
wandering around.
Actually, I didn't have a problem.
You didn't have a problem?
No, I did some roaming around at night.
Uh-huh.
The sky looked great. But where my character was specifically in that area, and I put a torch on,
mm-hmm.
and because you had one in a crate somewhere. And I didn't really have any problems. I just followed the paths and just kind of wandered around because, well, I kind of found it fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think one of the things that gets me, and there's probably a way to do it, I just haven't figured it out yet, is that nighttime skyline will actually, you know, it's kind of a fog effect that will actually appear in front of hills sometimes, mm-hmm. which always really irks me. You know, so you have this starry sky, and suddenly the starry sky disappears, and you're like, oh, that's a big mountain right there. So I need to find a way to work around that.
I'm sure you'll be able to, if there is a way to work around it.
If there's, yeah.
You have some very diverse side quests, and I have ventured into, because I talk to everybody and I click on everything, so I have found a few already just in the beginning of the module. Without spoiling anything, is there anything, any one or two particular you liked creating?
Yeah, one of them that I really liked was one that I came up with kind of on the spur of the moment. You know, I realized that there was one area that I felt needed something a little more. It's in the area of Castle Joyous, and I decided I was going to plant a little gnome demonologist there. You know, what area wouldn't be better with a gnome demonologist? So I put I put one there, and you can play War with him, the card game.
Oh, he's you're really, kidding me!
I
haven't gotten to that yet.
I'm spoiling
it's
it.
Fine. I'm still gonna enjoy it.
All right. Well, I won't tell you how to actually beat this side quest, because there is a way of beating it, which does not involve actually winning the many games of War.
I haven't played that game since my kids were little.
I know. Well, it's not a game that you actually necessarily want to play all the time. So I liked doing that, and I just liked him as a character, and thought it was a neat little side quest. And Castle Joyous more generally, that is definitely the game's biggest side quest.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say too much more about it, except for the fact that I really wanted to make a side quest that was pretty big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things I loved about the Baldur's Gate games, was, you know, this ability to just stumble upon something that would lead to this entirely kind of different adventure. And the challenge of that is to make it so that it works with the rest of the game, so that mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like totally different from it. And so there's a kind of thematic link between, you know, that story and the other stories that go on.
Wow, I can't wait to get to that part. I do plan on, I don't have to work tonight, I plan on getting some decent sleep and finishing the module, but I am one of those people who have to go into every nook and cranny and find everything I can find. So it
That's good, that's great.
It probably takes me twice as long to do a module as everybody else because I'm like that. And but I always seem to enjoy it better that way. I find everything I can find.
Well, that's good.
And I think it's fun personally to figure out who will talk to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I love trying to figure out who will talk to you and why. And
right.
It's just fun for me. I'm easily amused, I guess. I don't know.
Can I ask you, have you, this isn't really giving away anything if you haven't done this.
Uh-huh.
Have you talked to Vasovic, the haberdasher at the inn?
Yes, I have.
Excellent. Okay.
Yes, I have. I clicked on every NPC in the inn.
Okay.
I've talked to them all. And you know what? I'm even known to click on animals just in case. So there have been incidences where the animal actually has something to say.
Oh, really?
So, you know, I don't even, if there's an animal wandering around that maybe looks kind of suspicious or not quite where they should be, I'll go click on them because,
right.
Well, you just never know. Because, you know, there's quirky personalities out there, and I've actually had situations where animals have had something to say.
Oh, really?
Or something to show you. I told you I click on everything.
Mm-hmm.
If it highlights, I click on it.
Nice. Well, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, the cat in the town's little antiquarian store. That's actually my cat, Kasha. She She's named after my own cat.
Her star debut.
Yeah.
So are you planning anything in the future?
Yes. In fact, I think that I will go ahead and make a sequel to this
Ooh,
mod.
Yay.
And I've kind of already come up with a concept for it, and a title. I mean, going back to the process question, my process is very screwy. You should, in general, name things after they're completed, or at least as they're being completed. And then, you know, do all the title screen artwork and that kind of thing. I always have to start with, like, the title screen. So what I do is I sit down with my colored pencils and I draw what I want the title screen to look like. It's very silly. But for some reason that gets me motivated, you know, it makes me have a physical piece of something that I've done to kind of spur me on. But in any case, the title of this new mod will be Agency 2, Bronze Daughter. Not the metal, but the a name, Bron, B-R-O-N, apostrophe S, daughter. Mm-hmm. And I know kind of what's going to happen with it, but I'm not going to say anything at this point.
Well, don't. Keep us in suspense.
I will.
I would comment, so I like your loading screens.
Oh, thank you. Thank
they
you.
Are great.
You know, I can't take credit for those. Those were actually the suggestion two of my beta testers said, you know, you should really have loading screens. And I said, okay. Mr. Dark and J. Clef, a.k.a. Uh-huh. Speaking Beast.
Well, yeah, I actually have told Jay that, Jason, that I cannot stand a module that doesn't have appropriate loading screens, and they use generic ones. Like, you're going out in the middle of the woods and you see the King of Shadows domain.
Right.
And,
right.
Like, it irritates me greatly.
Well, that was what mine was like before they made their very wise suggestion. So, and it wasn't hard at all. It probably took like 2 hours to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you do have a fabulous information pamphlet PDF.
Oh, thank you.
And I looked at it and I started reading. I was like, well, this is great. And he gives very good instructions how to install for the quirky people who do things weird and for us normal people who want it as simple as possible. And like me. Is there anything else you'd like to add this evening?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to tell you guys that you do a great job. I listen to you all the time, and
you
know, you're very encouraging. It's really encouraging to hear other people from the community talking about what they do. And yeah, I mean, the community in general is just enormously helpful. You know, doing any kind of modding work would be impossible without this community. I would have given up a really long time ago. So I just would kind of like to add that. And, you know, it's also something, you know, I feel like, one of the challenges about being a modder is that you have to spend so much time with this tool set. And it's very frustrating. But there's always that community to go back to complain to learn from. So, you know, that's my advice, I guess.
Do you like when people critique or make suggestions in their comments?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that because I do that to people. And, you know, if I really love a module, I don't tend to pick it apart completely. But if there are certain little things that I think maybe it was missing or maybe could have been a little more tweaked out or polished, I will mention it. But I'm very respectful when I do.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is all over the vault with comments because, I've just played so many modules. And I hope to keep playing them because, I mean, how many people can buy one simple game and get so many games out of it?
I know. It's
And
it's
this
kind
community
of insane.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
And you guys do this for free. Which makes us even appreciate you more. You give us all your hard work for free, and we do appreciate it. I know I do, for one, extremely appreciate it, because you've given me a lot of rainy nights and boredom moments and sleepless nights even that I've been able to play games. And the storytelling in some of them are so fantastic that I actually get sad when I finish the module.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's
I do. I get sad. You know how you close a really good book and you think, oh, no, it's over. Well, that's how I feel when a good story with a module is. Mm-hmm. And I get sad and I'm like, oh, they have to do a sequel. Or it's just like you just don't want to let it go. Or you have this rampant imagination that continues the story in your mind thinking, okay, well, you know, the characters could go off and do this and this and that. And but then you have to let it go if they're not going to do a sequel. But it's like I said, it's closing a really good book. Well, I would like to thank you very much for coming and doing the solo interview. I plan on finishing your module sometime in the next day or so.
Excellent.
And I will comment and I will vote, as always. And looking forward to the sequel.
Yeah, me too.
You're looking forward to all that tool set work again, right?
Right.
I've enjoyed the interview very much, Zach. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
What I would love to get into the habit of, or just kind of get into a rhythm, would be whenever a patch gets released, mm-hmm. I would like to have someone from Obsidian come on the show and give us an overview of what's in that patch and what what all happened with it, so that everyone listening could know. You know, like one patch 1.11's out right now. If we could have someone sit down and go, hey guys, we just want to let you know patch 1.11's out and here's the big things that are in it and here's why we think it's a great patch and why everyone should benefit from it.
We have a voicemail now, so you could do it at your convenience.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think that would be kind of cool.
Okay, we need your help with some listener hellos that we can use in the shows. Call into our Skype voicemail at NWM Podcast and record the following. Of course, put your name where mine is, but you know, be creative with the second line. So this is so, and then say the last line exactly the way that I've worded it. So say something like this. Say, hello, this is Trey, a.k.a. Eshercon Zelo from Ontario, Canada, or wherever you're from. And then if you want, you can add what you're doing, like, I just finished the OC, or I'm the baddest modder in the community, or you know, whatever you want to say. And then make sure you say the last line as, you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast. So please, if y'all will call into our Skype voicemail and help us out, and you'll get your voice in the podcast. And, of course, I expect all of you out there that we've done interviews with to do that because I know you have mics.
And for Mod Spotlights, the Mod Spotlight is a unique way for you to promote your module in your own voice and music. All you need to do is go to the website and answer the listed questions, recording your own Mod Spotlight in an MP3 file, and then send us your MP3 file, and we will include them in the show. One way to get us your file is to use www.badango.com and then send us the link to the file.
I also want to let everybody know that this being the Christmas holiday season, that we will not have an episode 2 weeks from now. Our next episode will be in January, so we want to help wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and we'll see you in 2008.
If you've enjoyed the show and would like to help out, we recommend clicking on the PayPal donate link on our website. Placing a few gold pieces in the coffers will go a long way in supporting our efforts.
Like new microphones, or hosting space, or
Headsets.
Beer.
Or what? Beer? Did you say fear?
Nice.
If you have any comments or questions, you can contact us by sending email to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com, or you can leave us an audio comment or question via Skype by calling NWN Podcast, all one word. This is Jay.
And this is Trey.
And this is Michelle.
And this is Monty.
And until next week,
get in the game and level up, level up, level up.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Never Win or Not podcast are not necessarily those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, or their partners and employees. The Never Win or Not's podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content.
How you get to co-host with us? How cool is that?
Is that what I'm doing?
Is that what you want to do with us?
That's great. I'll do it.
We've got a news item we thought we'd let you cover. It's some guy from Rodeo Studios got hired.
You can cover your own news.
That might not be objective journalism. Maybe.
It's a great end year show. We've got you with us, and we also did an interview with Zach Holbrook on his new module, which is just leaping off the charts.
Awesome.
It's only been on for 6 days. He's already got 40-some votes. It's a real high score and over 1,000 downloads already.
That's terrific.
So, Michelle, do you want to email him the show notes? Do you have his email?
I have his email for today. Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Do y'all want me to say this thing here?
Oh, you want to do your hello?
Yeah,
we can do that while she's sending that to you.
Okay, so I'm supposed to say, hey, this is Monty.
But with feeling.
Right, but I'm just making sure I know it. Hey, this is Monty. I'm Obsidian Entertainment. Hey, this is Monty. I'm from Obsidian Entertainment, and you're listening to the only Never Win or Not podcast. That's what I'm supposed to say, right?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, so just let me know.
Yep, take a pause. Take a pause and go. Excellent.
Cool.
Can you play it back and let me hear it? I gotta sign off on it, right?
Not at the moment, because we're recording the whole thing, but you'll hear it in the episode. Actually, I got access to the voiceover forums on the Rogue Deo stuff, and I needed to get in there and put in for some of those. I just ran out of time and didn't.
Voiceover?
Yeah, I was going to do some voiceovers for some of the modules, but life got in the way, and I hadn't had a chance to put in any submissions yet.
It's not too late. We've barely started with that. So all three of y'all, if you want to get involved with that.
I'm a myriad of different personalities.
Do you have any southern characters you need?
Maybe not any southern ones, but, you know, we can find something.
That was a joke.
To your Rodeo email, I did send you the show notes. They've been emailed to you.
Avast with you, lady.
Oh my God!
We're real informal here when we're doing this recording, Monty. So
we're
kind of getting to see behind the scenes.
That's great.
The bloopers are going to be fantastic. Awesome. Yeah.
Harp and chrysanthemum. Open chrysanthemum.
Like the flower.
Chrysanthemum. Yes.
I'm not even going to attempt to say that word.
Do we have any hard words? Do we have any other hard words that we can't pronounce in this episode?
We could just do a whole hard word.
I think that is. I think that's every episode.
I think we can do.
We can talk about the third chapter of the Planescape Trilogy, Eschatology, and Chrysanthemum, and throw them all in there.
We're not going to have a Christmas show. We need to make sure we announce that in this one. So our next episode will be in the new year, because our record date would throw us right on Christmas Day, so we're not going to do it. But the idea would be to go back through all of our episodes, Trey, and just pull out the segments where we'd mispronounce words and just string all those together.
Okay. I'll do that.
Time we butcher a name, we could just put a...
That's a cool idea.
I did get a couple of messages, and people are saying that you guys should at least... send out a Halloween Foxy says that we need to do a small recording release for Christmas, and we have to sing carols to everybody. I was like,
jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
I don't think so.
People would like. Are you ready?
we want to increase.
Start us off. Sing jingle bells.
The office would probably kill me.
Yeah, we want to increase listeners, not kill the listeners. The only killing should be in game.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Trey, you can host on this one. Go for it. You ready to start?
Here's how I want to do this one. Okay. I want us to take turns saying the sentences there in the first paragraph. Well, I'll start out and say, this is the only Never Win Nights podcast. And then someone else do the next sentence, and then we just switch off.
Okay. So you want Monty included in that switching off?
Yes.
Okay.
How
so there's four. There's four sentences. I can't even say the word sentence. There's four sentences. Sentences.
Like they are, chap. There should be four sentences.
All right. So y'all ready? Here we go.
Wait. What order are we going in?
Pick an order.
Me, Jay.
Say welcome to the show.
Me, Jay, Michelle, then Monty will do welcome to the show.
Okay.
Ready?
And then they'll go, who's that?
You ready? Everybody ready? Yeah. Get your giggles out. Okay.
That's cool. So y'all like record stuff and then just splice it all together?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah,
very cool.
Out of necessity.
Because we can't stay, we're like cats.
Sometimes it takes me about 4 to 6 hours to do it, depending on.
Oh, wow.
If there's all three of us or just two of us.
Yeah.
Okay, you want me to start the next section off, or you want to start it off?
Well, that's okay. How it reads.
No, you start off, Jay, and let's do two sentences a piece. I don't know why I can't say that word. Sentences. You know, those string of words with a period at the end? All right, go, Jay.
You can write us at... excuse me, I got a frog in my throat, apparently.
Ribbit.
Okay. You can write us at soneverwinternight.com or post us in our... Oh, my God. Can I blame it on the fever I had today?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
As long as you don't have a fit, is it?
You can write us at soneverwinternight.com.
At. Put the word at.
Wait, start over. You just left out at.
All right. You can write us at... Okay. You can write us at show@neverwinternights.com or post to us in our forums. Call us on Skype on neverwinternights... oh, my God. I quit.
Do you want to do this one?
Yeah, go ahead, Monty.
Actually, there's a word missing in that sentence, too.
Is there, you can call us on
us
Skype.
At show@neverwinternightspodcast.com.
Ooh, it is, isn't it? So with that, quit trying to figure out that... Wait, I didn't change that from last week. What's something good I can say? So with that, quit playing around with Nishka's horns and listen up for a few minutes. And join us for another exciting episode of the Neverwinter Podcast. Okay, let me do that again.
It's good thing we don't get paid for this.
Like this, we never will.
Now y'all are doing great.
What?
You can say that one, Monty.
Well, I can't talk about myself in the third person.
Plus, we have
we do the main topic line, and then y'all do that one.
Okay. Cats. Yeah,
I get pretty wordy, I guess. So.
Cats.
Well, you know.
I'm sorry, I just had to say that. That's the first time I ever got to say that.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Yay!
Awesome.
Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it. That's
hey, no problem. Anytime.
You see how much fun. We usually try to get through this a lot faster, but tonight, for some reason.
Oh, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
It takes us forever.
I enjoyed it. Bye, Jay. Bye, Trey. And bye, Michelle. Y'all will be back.
See you, Mike. Bye.